Hey, uplifters. I want to take a minute to talk about something personal to me. In my 40s, I started noticing my hair was shedding more. So a couple of months ago, I started using Nutrafol. I'm already seeing so much less shedding. And my teenage daughter, who notices absolutely everything, keeps commenting on how thick my hair looks. As someone who's built my career around rigorous science, I super love that Nutrafol was the first brand to clinically study hair thinning on menopausal women, which is why I am so proud to have them as a sponsor. Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, supporting you throughout your life stages. You can see thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code UPLIFTERS. Welcome to the UPLIFTERS podcast, where we talk to inspiring women over 40 who are doing big, brave things in the world. We talk about not just what they've done, which is super exciting and inspiring in its own right, but really we focus on how they've done it because, frankly, it's really hard to do anything new, to trailblaze, to break out of our patterns. But the way that we do that is to hear other people's stories and understand how they manage those obstacles and barriers, how they build the confidence and the courage to keep doing brave things in spite of resistance. Because let's face it, none of us are ever going to do a big, brave thing without a little resistance. Otherwise, we already would have done it. So really excited to talk to Kimberly Lau today. She is an Asian American mom of two who courageously pursued her passion for healthy baking after discovering that she was lactose and egg tolerant and at high risk for breast cancer. Her business is called Bake Me Healthy, and she's on a mission to fight food allergies and food waste with super yummy, top 9 allergen-free plant-based baking mixes and cookies. We've been sampling them here at our house. They are so delicious. I met Kimberly through my friend Louise Lutera, who you might have heard about before via my Substack. Louise is the founder of Join the Tribe, which is a super uplifting company. What Louise does is she connects with emerging founders who have inspiring stories. She gets small amounts of their products and she sends them to people as a try before you buy model, essentially. So you can try one baking mix or one fabulous, interesting protein bar from some new company without having to buy the whole box and feel like I, speaking of food waste, just ordered something that's not right for me. Now I'm stuck with 9 more of them. But it also gives you a chance to just sample lots more fun things and really enjoy the discovery process of finding things that you love and want to make a part of your regular routine. Probably, hopefully, because not only do you love the product itself, but you love the founder and the story behind it, and you're supporting a mission that you believe in. So super excited to have Kimberly here, super excited by her mission, super excited by her product. We're actually going to sample some of her products at our upcoming Uplifters retreat, which is super fun. And yeah, I just can't wait to see where Kimberly goes because she is determined, inspiring, and really rooted in purpose. Kimberly, thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, Aransas. I am so thrilled to be here today.
So take us back to like the genesis story of you and Bake Me Healthy.
Sure. So I started my career in consulting, but then moved into the world of beauty and spent almost 20 years doing product innovation and marketing for almost every major beauty company. And while I was working there, I became a mom and had children 14 years ago. And through my pregnancy, I was shocked to discover that I had become lactose and egg intolerant from my pregnancy.
Is that a thing?
If you're a mom out there, you know, like the pregnancy can change your bodies in so many ways, but I had never heard of anyone who became lactose and egg intolerant from their pregnancy. So I was shocked, but you know, I had to get over it and figure out how to alter my diet. I was always a home baker. And so just kind of taught myself how to bake without dairy or eggs.
Incredible. And then at what point were you like, oh, maybe I want to do more of this and get it to other people?
Yeah. So then in 2020, the doctors discovered that I had become high risk for breast cancer. And my oncologist advised eliminating soy from my diet. And so yet again, I had to alter and change what I was eating. And after a little bit, some point, you know, 2020 was, I think, a pivotal moment for so many of us in terms of just looking around and figuring out, well, you know, what is my greater purpose? And so I ended up leaving corporate America, one, to take care of my physical, but also mental health. And then two, while I was taking this break, I discovered that I just wanted to do something bigger and better. And I knew I had a bigger and greater purpose in life. And that's when I decided to launch Bake Me Healthy. And I wanted it to be a company that was founded on really clean, healthy ingredients, nothing you have to Google, allergy friendly, making baking inclusive, lower sugar. And so I launched it in May of 2023.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm so curious to know about the process. This is a journey that a lot of us go on in midlife where we start to realize there are things in our lives that we wish existed or we wish were different. And some of us go off and found a nonprofit to address a systemic issue. Others of us create a product that addresses an unmet need. And certainly the purpose and the reason for those choices is often very clear. And yet, then there's the question of how the hell do I do it? And so one of the things I hear in your story that is true for most of us when we do that is we start to mine the resources that we have developed over the course of a lifetime, right? So there's like a bit of a dichotomy though, because we are also at a time where we are carrying more responsibility for more people. We feel like our parents are kind of relying on us. Maybe some kids are relying on us. Maybe a partner's relying on us. There's a whole economic engine built around us. We got mortgages to pay and insurance. And like, there's just so much that is dependent on our success and stability. And so taking a risk can feel really scary, but having that inventory of what resources do I have available? I have, in your case, a marketing expertise, maybe some knowledge about how consumer purchase goods are created and packaged. So take me through that moment of tension and how you found your way to keep moving forward through that.
Oh gosh, such a great question. So first, you know, I always think I'm pretty risk averse. And so when you become a founder, that's the most...
Thank you for saying that, by the way, because I think most of us stop ourselves because we're like, no, I'm risk averse. I'm not that person.
And it's a big mindset thing, right? Game, right? In terms of like, can I get past it? Can I take a bet on myself? And with, you know, 2020 happening and me discovering, well, you know what? It's now or never. I try to live life with no regrets. And it was a good break in my career. And I'm like, might as well try something new. If it fails, I can always go back to beauty. And so starting with like, all right, well, my husband fortunately is in a very stable job. He's been with this company for 14 years. And we have two kids, both like many other families involved in activities. My son plays ice hockey. It's a huge financial and time commitment. But putting that aside, I've realized that like we have enough, I guess, financial capital to take a bet. But then even as you point out, like there's social capital. So I joke around that I'm like a geriatric founder. And when I first started, I was like, oh gosh, can I do this? Aren't like founders like in their 20s? They're like straight out of college, working out of their garage. Like how many people in their 40s, let alone moms or females, are starting businesses? And I started Googling and I found that actually the average age is 45 for becoming a founder.
Woo-hoo.
So I was like, all right, well, maybe I can do this. I was a home baker, self-taught, nothing professional. I was thinking, well, how do I make it easier for people to bake healthy? And I decided to launch baking mixes. I just figured like people are at home. Again, it was, you know, during the pandemic, people are home. They can easily bake through a baking mix, but how do I make it super easy for them? And so I developed a line of baking mixes where all you have to do is add oil and milk of your choice. Our products, again, are vegan, gluten-free, free of the top allergens. And so that's what I launched the company with. But it was me thinking like, gosh, you know, how do I make it easier for someone in my shoes, a working mom who wants to feed her kids and her family something delicious, but healthy and nutritious. And so that's kind of how it started.
I love that. So really understanding your own experience and mining that experience to understand who your customer was and getting pretty specific about who your customer was. It's one of those things that hard work up front for easier work later on. And what I hear you doing here is saying, okay, I'm going to get really specific about who I serve and really design for her life. I do a lot of work in experience strategy for companies and specifically in motivation, but so much of our work is about really understanding the modes that customers are in and making something that fits their life's needs in a very specific way creates a lot more ease down the road. Because now when you answer these questions like, what do I do in this case or that case? It's like, well, I know who it's for and I know who she is and I know what she needs because she's me. Obviously, that expands with time, but I think it's a really smart way to start in terms of making it just a little bit easier and crispier what you're doing.
Yeah, and that's what I took from my beauty career, right? And so for beauty, it was always about what's a need state solution. So every time I came up with a new product, it was like, what's the need state and what am I solving for? And so going into food, that was exactly what I was looking at. I was like, what's the problem here? And often I get the question, I was like, why didn't you go into beauty? With 20 years of experience, why wouldn't you launch a beauty company? I frankly didn't see a white space opportunity. And that's where, you know, for food here, that's where I saw there was something lacking in the industry where people could actually have something delicious, but that was inclusive for them. And so that's why I ended up with Bake Me Healthy.
Wow. What was the scariest part about this process for you?
Gosh, what isn't? It's an ongoing, there's like a, for any founders, you know, I think there's just an ongoing, at least a low level anxiety that's always there. I think the biggest part of the anxiety is being a mom who has children who are nearing college age. My daughter's in high school now. My son's in middle school, but getting ever so close to her. And so my goal when I first started was like, okay, I'm going to hopefully raise enough money that I can put my kids through college. And every year, so that was 2 years ago. And as every year goes by, I'm like, oh gosh, am I any step closer? And so when I reevaluate the business and reevaluate, I'm like, am I getting to that mission or am I putting my family in jeopardy by taking this risk on myself, on the business, the family? So I think the biggest anxiety is starting a company as a mom. Because I'm sure other moms, you know, like you think about your family first and before, well, and you think about yourself, but you think about your family's well-being first. And so that's always ongoing on my mind, thinking like, am I doing the right thing for them?
Yeah. And this is slow going, right? Like
the slow build, it's a long game. And so I have to remind myself that it's a long game. And I think that's the scariest part is we talked about risk. So it's like, how much of a risk am I taking and can I bear it? Can my family bear it? And so that's what continues away. But I think for at this moment, yes, we keep going. It's a risk that we're managing.
What do you use as data? And I mean that in the broadest sense. So felt data, financial data, et cetera. What gives you a signal that you are going in the right direction? Because I think one of the things that every founder is constantly asking is, should I stop? When do I know that I shouldn't keep going?
Oh gosh, that was the question on my mind last week. I was talking to another founder. It's like you get these micro wins that give you permission to keep going. Almost like you get like, for me, there's been a number of like corporate accounts that are interested in ordering our dark chocolate chip cookies so that they can stock their pantries. And so they're giving their employees something healthy, nutritious, inclusive to enjoy during the day in the office. And so I've gotten several of these like light green lights, like, handshake deals or verbal. And so those were like micro wins, thinking like, okay, like there's a positive sign that what I'm creating is wanted. And so those are kind of the things that keep me going and thinking like I see the light to keep going. And it was interesting. I was on a call with an advisor a couple of weeks ago, and she told me, she's like, you just need to know the destination and you just need to know the next three steps, but you don't need to know the full plan to get there. And so these little micro wins are just kind of like the next three steps, because I think for me as a founder, and I'm sure many others, you feel like you need to have it all mapped out. And I think as a mom too, right? Like for me, I'm a type A, triple A, type A planner. And so I feel like I need to have it like all mapped out, like whole business plan, exactly what's going to work, where I'm going to win, exactly how much revenue is going to, you know, profit's going to come in this year. And it's not that easy.
Yeah. And there is that level of uncertainty we have to tolerate. But what I'm hearing in your answer is, we also have to let the wins in, because it's really easy to let our negativity bias turn all of our attention to what isn't working, where we should be doing more or making more, right? That's a major energy drain and has to be balanced by, okay, what is working? And that's the question I try to ask myself all the time is, where is the energy flowing right now? What is really coming along and feels like easy and obvious and like it's the right thing for the right time, and use that as my guide to where to go next and where to put more of my energy in as an energy multiplier.
Exactly. Exactly. Just, you have to listen and just tune in. And so for me also, like just listening to customers, understanding what their perspective and feedback is on the brand, on the product, how they're solving their issues. And so it's a lot of just trying to tune into others and see and pick up on those signs.
So you talked about your advisor and her wise words. I think that's so smart to just stay kind of in the moment and know what the next right thing is and not worry about what like the whole map is, because Lord knows, even if we were driving somewhere, the tree could fall on the highway. There could be a car wreck that makes us change course. And so we have to be responsive. I do think in every journey, there are the voices that are really helpful and make us feel a greater sense of hope and energy. But then there are also the people that are like, what are you doing, Kimberly? So how do you manage the unhelpful opinions or stories of others to help you stay focused on that next right thing?
Oh, great question. I think as a founder, you get so much feedback, whether you want solicited or not. Everyone's like ready to, it's almost like being a mom. Everyone tells you exactly what you should or shouldn't be doing.
True.
And it's tough to filter out like what actually makes sense for you and your business. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I like to like shop around, quote unquote, the idea and float around. So like one challenge I'm dealing with this week, I'm speaking to, I think, three different colleagues, founders. And so again, just trying to get different perspectives on the issue. Mm-hmm. And so not taking any one, but just kind of like mirroring all the collective thoughts into and then forming my opinion. But it's hard because you have to like figure out what to filter out.
Mm-hmm. What are those filters for you?
First and foremost, is it align with our core values? Does it lead to sustainability for us is a core value, but it means in so many different ways, not only being better for the planet, but also as being a small business. And so what does it mean for financial stability and sustainability? And so looking at it through that lens of like, does it actually lead to being profitable? Because if we're not profitable, we're not sustainable. And so then there's no business tomorrow.
I love that. And I love that you use the word sustainability, because that's what I want to talk about next. But in a slightly different lens, it's sustainability for you as a founder. So you are consciously carrying sort of the weight of, can I pay for my kids' college? You've got I'm sure your team, your space, your partners, there's the financial relationships, there's investors, there's advice, right? Like there's all these people that you feel like you, I'm sure, are caring for, and certainly your customer, first and foremost. And so you've got all of these different caregiving roles as a founder. how do you take care of yourself and nourish yourself mentally, emotionally, energetically, in order to keep going and showing up without resentment toward any of these people who are relying on you?
Great question. For me, work, because I'm such a type A personality and I'm workaholic. When I was in the beauty industry, I often had burnout. If you're not, you know, familiar with the beauty industry, you think it's very glamorous. Well, not so glamorous. It's extremely long hours, very stressful. And when I became a founder, I said, I'm going to really be mindful of not burning out. I'm not going to say I haven't burned down the last 2.5 years. I certainly have, but I'm being very intentional and trying to listen to my body. And so last week when I work in the commercial kitchen, producing or making your cookies, they're long 15-hour days. And so I usually come back the next day pretty like burnt, pretty exhausted. And then I had a conference on Friday. And anyhow, long story short, on Saturday, I was like exhausted. And I took a nap. I slept. I was like, all right, I need to go to bed early. I just needed to like listen to my body and just sleep because I'm mentally and physically exhausted. And so for me, I know sleep is key. I literally have on my planner, like, your habit trackers, and mine was like sleep 7 hours a day. And so like last week, I can tell you, I don't think I checked that off one day last week. Mm. And so I was like, well, there's the red flag. That's why I was so totally exhausted by the weekend. I was like, okay, this week I'm making a very diligent effort to make sure that I stick to that habit, because it can't just be on the habit tracker for no reason.
Right.
So that's one way. And then the other thing is like, I have such a supportive husband and family and friends. And I honestly do have the best husband who's supported me in this whole business endeavor. So I lean on him, like, when I'm like having these moments. So that's good. And my kids, what's interesting about being a geriatric founder, I'm going to just throw that phrase out again, is that my kids are a little bit older. So they're 14 and 11, and they've been along with me for the ride for the business. They come to events with me. They work the events. They're my number one taste testers. And so I'll like throw out these issues at them. And I'll be like, guys, this is what's going on. What do you think? And so it's kind of fun to like kind of troubleshoot some of the issues with my kids. They keep me grounded.
I love that so much. And I love this very intimate aspect of a family business. It is. I mean, like, it sounds so different than founder, which feels like running a tech company in my mind, but family business feels like I'm running my local salon. And yet that's really what all founders are doing in most cases, especially geriatric founders, especially geriatric mom. It's got to be a family business. And I just can't imagine how difficult any of this would be without a community of support. And one of the things I really love about your business is that you center both your mother and your children and create this sort of multi-generational brand experience, right? And like, I have grown up so close to my mom and my grandma and my children. We are, and always have been, a package deal. You know that if you invite me somewhere, you're going to get at least 3 generations, possibly 5. That's just how we roll. So seeing that in your story is really moving. What's it been like working with your mom and creating this with her in the kitchen?
Yeah. So my mom was actually my baking teacher. She's the one who taught me to bake. She made our birthday cakes every year. She would make ice cream cakes for us, carrot cake. So actually I launched a carrot cake as an homage to her.
We've had that one. That one's very good.
Thank you.
Of course, we made a very non-vegan, high fat and dairy frosting for it. It was delicious.
Yeah. So she's been super helpful. She's helped me bake in the kitchen, and it's been nice because then we get time to like chat and catch up. She's helped me work at events. We actually have a chocolate and coffee expo in 2 weeks. And so she's coming along the ride. We're going to Virginia. And so she'll be helping me work that event for 2 days. And so it's kind of like a nice excuse to just spend time with her. I mean, granted, they're long days and we're like hustling, but it's nice to have that time with her.
It is really special. Mm-hmm. And I imagine you're getting to know things about one another that you never would have had your relationship simply been you going off into an office to work.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
So one of the best things about the Uplifters podcast, if I do say so myself, one of the smartest things I did in this process is I set it up so that each woman who is on the show nominates another guest to join us. So who would you like to nominate for the Uplifters podcast, Kimberly?
Yeah, so her name is Gita Valensky, and she is the founder of Nishi, which are these delicious chocolate spreads, protein powders, muffins for periods, premenopause, perimenopause, and menopause symptoms. So hot flashes, like cramps, all the unglamorous stuff of being a woman. And yeah, her products are so, they're amazing. They work, you know, you can like, she's got these customers who just are just avid fans because they really make an impact on their health.
Mm, how wonderful. I can't wait to hear her story and how that came to be and to try her products. They sound amazing. So as uplifters, we love to uplift other uplifters. How can we best lift up you and bake me healthy?
Follow us on social media, shop our products or share our products with anyone else that you may be health conscious, may have a food allergy. We're just trying to make the world a more inclusive, better place. And, you know, I think give me feedback too. Share any feedback or networks. Our goal is really, we're school safe, so we're really focused on colleges and universities, corporate offices, holiday gift, corporate giving. Again, we're just trying to be a great option for people who want to indulge, but more mindfully.
I love that so much. That's really smart. I'm really excited to try more of your products and to share more of them. And I feel like it'd be great holiday gifts too, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
And maybe new mom gifts, given this story. So I'm just thrilled to see where you go with this. It sounds like you are approaching this with so much love and wisdom, the kind of wisdom that we can only gain through lived experience.
Absolutely.
And that really is why I am so, one of our former guests described herself, Denise Pines, described herself as pro-aging. And I am so into that because I feel like midlife is really this time where we get to bring together all of our lived experience and make it mean more.
I couldn't agree more. I had a mentor when I turned 30. She said to me, your 20s, you feel like are your golden years where you're like going out, partying. Then your 30s are when you're kind of like discovering yourself, both career and family-wise. And then the 40s is where you really come into your true self. Mm. And I've taken that to heart, and I couldn't agree with her more now that I'm in my mid-40s. I'm like, she was absolutely right.
Yeah, this is where it's at.
And I had a student at Columbia. I was doing a business school doing a presentation. He said, would you have started your company 10 years ago? And I said, absolutely not. One, I wouldn't have had the medical journey, but two, I wouldn't have the social, financial capital, the wisdom, expertise to launch my business 10 years ago. And so it would not be Bake Me Healthy 10 years ago as it is today. So I feel like, you know, and I think you probably say this to the other friend, like you're right where you need to be.
Right where we need to be. That's exactly right. Thank you so much for being here, Kimberly. Best wishes to you in this big endeavor you're on.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been such an honor to share our story with you and your community.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the uplifters in your life and then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more uplifters, and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Painted water sunshine with rosemary and thyme. Dwell in the perplexing, though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover. Relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. Dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight. Lift you up, whoa, lift you up, whoa, lift you up, whoa, lift you up, lift you up, whoa, lift you up, whoa, lift you up, whoa.
In the pre-chorus, right?
I was like,
"Mommy, stop crying! Mommy, stop crying! You're disturbing the peace."